The Crown has a new cast. Award-winning actress Olivia Colman and Helena Bonham Carter join the third season, premiering today on Netflix. NPR TV critic Eric Deggan says the show manages a seamless transition while also continuing to ask important questions about the role of monarchy in a democracy.
The Crown's third season begins with Olivia Colman as a dour, disappointed Queen Elizabeth. It's 1964, and she's staring at two portraits of her profile for a postage stamp, one a new image and the other from her youth, as an aide tries to lift her spirits.
Everyone at the post office is delighted with the new profile, ma'am, which they feel to be an elegant reflection of Her Majesty's transition from young woman to...
Old bet?
A mother of four... and settled sovereign.
This scene features images of Colman and the woman who played Elizabeth in the two previous seasons of The Crown, Claire Foy. It's a not-so-subtle nod to a changing of the guard on screen. Gone is the luminous Foy and the impish Matt Smith, who played young Elizabeth and Prince Philip. In comes Colman, Tobias Menzies as Philip, and Helena Bonham Carter as Elizabeth's sister, Margaret. Now, Margaret desperately wants to be queen, but her desire is overshadowed by qualities, especially an impulsive, entitled nature, that would make her terrible at the job. It doesn't stop her from complaining, including on a flight with her husband, played by Ben Daniels.
Elder sister, younger sister, number one and number two.
Who's number one?
You. A natural number one whose tragedy it is to have been born number two.
That is my burden.
She knows it too.
Yes, I think she does. That's her burden.
Wonderful as Bonham Carter's Margaret is, Colman's Queen Elizabeth is the bigger acting triumph. She must show competing waves of emotion inside a woman known as a solid ruler who spent decades perfecting the art of seeming unmoved. It can look at times as if Colman is wearing the same three expressions in every episode, but she signals Elizabeth's emotional turmoil in small moments, pursed lips or a tear welling that never quite gets out of her eye. A key moment comes when Elizabeth must confront a relative, played by the always regal Charles Dance, who wants her to dismiss a struggling prime minister and parliament.
I am protecting the prime minister. I am protecting the constitution. I am protecting democracy.
But if the man at the heart of that democracy threatens to destroy it, are we supposed to just stand by and do nothing?
Yes. Doing nothing is exactly what we do. And wait for the people that voted him in to vote him out again, if indeed that is what they decide to do.
There is so much to love here. Clancy Brown is a crusty Lyndon Baines Johnson, bonding with Margaret over their shared disdain for JFK. Menzies Philip cluelessly causing a deluge of bad press when he complains on US TV about the royals' low pay. So much in these episodes would be avoided if the monarchy just had a good press agent. It's always been tempting to dismiss The Crown as a high-priced soap opera aimed straight at Anglophiles. But the show's real mission has often been to ask, what's the purpose of a hereditary monarchy in a democracy? This show humanizes a royal family tangled by contradictions, to have power yet not, to be fiercely private public figures, to participate in world events only as the regal, reserved face of a democracy. The Crown might, in some way, be propaganda for an unfair aristocracy, but it's also irresistible, insightful television. I'm Eric Deggans.